Well, thank you, Pastor Andrew, for sharing that. I'm so excited to think about another devotional. What a great Christmas present that will be to our church. Hopefully it will be there by Christmas, but maybe the new year, but don't hold us to that. Well, that's exciting news. I wanted to remind you behind the scenes, you don't see this. All you see is Pastor Andrew and I every Sunday, but I've got a shot this morning of Chris, who's taking all the video and putting it all together for us. And there's a shot here of Will as well, behind the sound booth, making it sound wonderful. And then there's Moses running the camera, my son. And, you know, I think about my own personal son, Moses, here, and how proud I am of him, not that because he's got, you know, good grades, or he's got a good job, or he looks nice, or he dresses cool, but that he gets up at 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning to stand there and run a camera for us. Those are the kind of things, a sacrificial servanthood that I love about my son. And the other thing is, we also have things that help us out here, is this watering can, and Moses printed me off a Wilson tennis ball, so that I can't stare at you and look at you. You look fine this morning in your house, but I need something to look at because the camera is hard to look at. So here's what I stare at every Sunday morning. So there we go. Thank you, Moses. Hey, just this past week, we put, you know, hundreds and hundreds of Samaritan's Purse shoe boxes on a truck to head down to Alberta and get sorted out and go over all overseas. And I want you to know that almost 1,000 boxes got packed in and around this community and a few other communities close to us. And it said this. This is what the people that serve in this department, in this ministry, said about it. They said, this is a record amount of shoeboxes recorded since 2010. So in a pandemic, a crazy time of year, we're still able to bring those shoeboxes, get them sent out because it goes overseas. They get the boxes, the kids receive that. They're also invited to a church. They're invited to hear the gospel, the good news of Christ. So we sent more than we'd ever sent them in the last 10 years. That's awesome. So thank you guys so much for supporting that ministry. Hey, as we look in the Word today, I want to encourage you to open it up to Genesis chapter 41. Now, in Genesis chapter 41, we're going to pick up a story in just a moment, but I want to just pave a bit of a foundation here. The thought is that God uses pain and suffering to grow and mature us. And when you hear that, you're thinking, wow, that doesn't sound very great. I'm not sure if I'm excited about that, but watch these scriptures. Let's just chew on these real quickly. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. In Acts chapter 5, verse 41, we would pick up another story. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering, disgrace, for the name of Jesus Christ. Another one, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Well, isn't that just exciting? I hope when you read the Bible, you actually like read it, and you chew on it, and you wrestle through it, because you just highlight these. Rejoice in suffering. That doesn't sound very exciting. Rejoice because of the suffering for the disgrace that you'll receive for Jesus Christ's name. And I delight in persecutions and difficulties. Yes, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Those are the kind of things that we get excited about, in a sense. I think the opportunity is how we view that, how we view pain and suffering and difficulties. I view it as this, you know, pain and suffering is like bad. It's like negative. I don't want that. That's, you know, you're in a valley. I'm in a valley. It's a really hard time right now. And, you know, when you're not in suffering, hey, I'm doing pretty good. And I wonder if our view of it is not like that with the Lord. I wonder if it's more like a journey. And as we go on this journey, we have to change. If we're going to get closer to God, there has to be some change. And what is change like? Change sometimes is difficult. Change is sometimes hard. Let me even flip it this far and really just have some fun with you. Think about it this way. If you ask somebody, how are you doing? And they say, I'm doing pretty good. I need to pray for you, brother, because you obviously aren't doing good because you're not in pain and suffering. Isn't that just a crazy thought to think about it like that? Because when we're in pain and suffering, oh my word, we got to pray for you. We got to just lay hands because we got to get you out of that pain and suffering. And I wonder if it's similar. If sometimes we're just doing okay, we're like, oh, I'm good. If we're comfortable, we're not coasting, we're just enjoying it too much. I think the challenge for me that I find when I think about this in my personal life is when pain and suffering is happening, Oh, the enemy comes for the ride, doesn't he? He just comes right in there and he wants to feed you more pain and suffering. Because the enemy knows, he can see the spiritual realm, that as you're journeying, as you're wrestling through things, as you're going through some tough times, he knows that on the other side you're going to be closer to God. So he doesn't want you to come out of that pain and that suffering. So he just wants to keep you down, doesn't he? And I just really want to challenge us with that thought today. Because in the midst of pain and suffering, we don't like it. I'm not saying that God puts it in your life because he just wants you to have pain and suffering. But he can sure use it. And I think that God's master plan, if we were to look at it scripturally, if we looked at it historically, if we look at it in your personal life, there's a plan for your life, and sometimes it involves that. And that's a tough pill to swallow, but that's what the scriptures say. So let me show you one person in the Bible that experienced some suffering. Well, Honka, we could look at any scripture. We could look at any story in the Bible because all of them suffered. All of them went through some hardships. But we'll look at this one individual, and his name is Joseph. And Joseph was raised, he had many brothers, and he was sold off. He was put into some pain and some suffering, into slavery. Now, you know, I grew up with a brother, and sometimes we didn't get along. And sometimes, you know, you'd kind of wrestle and you'd kind of hate each other, you know, slam the door and get out of here. But to sell him, to like put him into slavery, now that's a bit of an extreme there, isn't it? So, you know, put yourself in the story. Your brothers offload you. Now, you have no relationship with your parents anymore. That close relationship you had with your parents is gone. We see that even Joseph, as he was sold, he was put into Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife frames him, and now he's put into prison. What is going on? There is some pain and some suffering going on in Joseph's life. Now, while he was in prison, we pick up the story here where Pharaoh receives a dream. He was sleeping. He receives two dreams. And this is where we pick up the story in verse 8 of Genesis 41. In the morning, his mind was troubled. So he sent for all the Egyptians, or all the magicians and the wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. All the wisdom of this world that it has to offer us cannot guide us into truth or into an interpretation, because God only gives it to godly people. God gives us wisdom, he gives us favor, and he gives us the truth. We can only find truth in God's word and spending time with the Lord. Oh, we got to understand that. We know how it ends up, how God reveals himself. If we look at the Bible and we think, as we go through history, we know how it ends. And along the journey, as we get closer to the end times, we know that as we open the scriptures, God will give us wisdom and he'll speak to us through his word the whole time. Isn't that just a great thought? So God spoke to Pharaoh, but it took a believer to interpret it for him. The very next verse, verse 9. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings." Now we understand here that the cupbearer was in prison with Pharaoh, and he remembers the story how Joseph had interpreted his dreams. See, he had a duty, didn't he, the cupbearer? He was challenged. Joseph asked him, don't forget me. And he had forgotten that. Sometimes I personally forget things, God. I feel like God deposited something in me. He's like, you should probably go do this or say that. And sometimes I might forget. And if we've neglected that, oh man, just quickly repent. Say, God, I'm so sorry. Let's get back to the task. Let's get back to our duty. Because it's better late than never to follow through. I feel like I'm not that old, but sometimes I feel like, have I told you this story before? But let's just have fun and I'll tell you it again in case I've maybe already told you this. But I have this mountain bike that I bought when I was a teenager, and it still works. It's awesome. And so my wife has inherited it now. And we took it down to the mechanic shop, and I said, look, I don't even know if this thing is going to work again, and this tire is so wobbly, you know, it just goes all over the place. Maybe I need a new tire, a new rim. And the guy says, let me have a look at this thing, and tweaks it all up. And he said, no, you don't need a new rim. I'll just fix it for you. And I honestly felt blessed by that. I thought, man, he could have upsold me. He could have sold me all kinds of things, but he didn't. He just fixed it up, and it was super cheap. And I thought, God just put it in my heart. He said, you're going to do something nice for that guy. And I thought, okay. And then like a month went by, and I think it was like 5 or 6 weeks had gone by. I was like, oh yeah, I got to go do something nice for that guy. So I went by Tim Hortons and grabbed 12 donuts. I went to the store, and the store had just opened, and I walk in, and I'm looking at this guy, and he looks angry. I'm thinking, oh my word, what's going on here? So looks like he was reading an email. Maybe he got an answering or a voice message that wasn't good. So I just bring the donuts, and I'm like, hey man, I'm going to give you these donuts. And you know, he's like, why are you doing that? And I said, well, you did this. And so he was, all of a sudden, he was just delighted. He said, wow, yeah, this is awesome. So I just thought, God wanted me to do that, and I don't know the result or why, but I just want to be obedient. When God says to do something, just do it. And if we forget, just quickly repent and go and do it in Jesus' name. Let's get those things done. Let's love on people. So Joseph said to the cupbearer, remember me when you come into Pharaoh's presence. Again, you got the cupbearer, and you've got the baker, and you got Joseph in prison. And the cupbearer and the baker have a dream, and Joseph interprets it for them. So the cupbearer's dream was that he was going to go back into Pharaoh's presence. So that happens. And the poor baker, he wasn't going to make it. He ended up dying. And you think the cupbearer would remember that, eh? Well, I had a dream. And man, it came true. Like what he said, it happened. And that poor baker, like, oh man, that was a bad day for that guy. You know, he didn't quite make it. You think he would remember that, but it says in Genesis chapter 40, verse 23, the cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph, and he forgot about him. Oh, dang, that's not so good. Sometimes we forget this as well in Genesis chapter 41, verse 1. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. Poor Joseph was in there for 2 years. Oh, that's a long time. That's a lot of suffering. I mean, I know that I've gone through some difficult times, but to be imprisoned for 2 years, whew, that's some serious pain and suffering. I wonder, let me just have some fun with you now. Like, I wonder if things had turned out differently. Just track with me for a second. Let's say the cupbearer remembers Joseph. He comes to Pharaoh, says, hey, Pharaoh, you know, there's this guy over here. He's been mistreated, but he can interpret dreams. Maybe we should let him go. And say Joseph got released. What would he do? What would be the first thing that Joseph would do? He would go right back home. Because it says in Genesis 40, verse 15, for I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put into this dungeon. Forcibly carried off from his land. That's where he wants to be. He didn't want to leave. So as soon as he was going to get released, I'm sure he would have wanted to go back to his homeland. Then if that really would have happened, he would never have been blessed in such a way that we're going to read about. Such a blessing to not only himself, but to the nation, to the whole region. This wouldn't have happened. So God wants us to be a blessing to ourselves, to our family, to those around us, to our community, and sometimes even to a nation. That's what God uses this season of pain and suffering for in this story. Again, think about Joseph. He had been released again along the way, anywhere along the way. He just would have went back home. Those that wait patiently for God shall be paid back for their waiting, for their patient waiting. Not only principal, but I really feel like with interest. You know, 2 years of suffering. There is going to be some interest paid back to this Joseph guy. So continuing the story, jumping down to verse 14. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph. After the cupbearer said to Pharaoh, look, I know this guy that can interpret dreams. He sends for him, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. I personally think that Pharaoh was in just as much of a prison as Joseph was. You know, Joseph was in a physical prison. That's where he was. But I think Pharaoh woke up that day, and in his mind, he was in prison. He was like, I got to interpret this. I got to figure this out. You know, he was just spinning his wheels. He was also suffering as well. We put ourselves in prison in our own minds. We don't see God's plan right now. Never mind restrictions. You can build up your own restrictions in your own mind. You don't need to be restricted in the physical sense in your house. You can let all this pain and suffering and anxiety and worry imprison you in your mind. You can put restrictions in your own mind because of what's going on. I wonder if Joseph was surprised at what had happened. I wonder, we pick up so many stories in the Bible. I want to read one about Peter, who was imprisoned as well. And then this thing happens. They're taken out of the dungeon and they're brought into the light. I see it like this. You're in darkness and you're brought into the light. We see here in Acts chapter 12, verse 9, Peter followed him out of the prison. He followed an angel, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. He thought he was dreaming because he was in darkness, and now he is being brought into the light. And it just seemed like a fantasy because it was so good. And for you and I, when we give our lives to Christ, and we're in pain and suffering, and we're, you know, tied up in our minds, and we're brought into the light of Jesus Christ, we're brought into the good news, it feels like a dream. Oh, man, I feel lighter. I feel, you know, great. I feel like, oh, I've got a new vision, a new idea. It's the same way for us. What's happening right now, it probably seems a little bit unreal. 2020, are you kidding me? I never thought it would be like this. You watch the Jetsons and those kind of shows, 2020 was supposed to be amazing. We're supposed to be flying around vehicles. But God is doing a miraculous thing, and he will use this situation. God's master plan understands all of these restrictions and changes. This is not outside of God's wheelhouse. This isn't like something new or God didn't see it coming. Think about it like this in Psalm 126, verse 1. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, whoa, when we come back, we were like men who dreamed. Because it was just so good. It was just so, it was such a change. When we come back out of this restriction time, we see God bring about a massive change to our church. We'll think that we're dreaming because it'll be so great. Again, from captivity and restrictions to a blessing. Again, we see God's master plan in his hand throughout the whole thing. Continuing in verse 15 and 16. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Why should the world listen to us? Why should the world listen to the gospel? It's because we have wisdom and understanding, and we can interpret the times. This isn't confusing to us. This isn't confusing to the church. It's not confusing to God or to his word. God will grant us favor because we will operate in wisdom, because God understands. It's part of his plan. He understands the beginning from the end, and you and I have the privilege to be able to inherit that and ask those kind of questions. Verse 16, I can't do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer to his dreams. Here Joseph was in prison for 2 years, could have said, Pharaoh, I've got the gift. I've, you know, kind of walked in like, you know, like, I will interpret your dream, you know, and if I do that, you should let me go. You know, Joseph doesn't ask any of those kind of requests, does he? He just says, you know, honestly, I can't do it. Honestly, I'm going to give you the answer, but it's going to be God that gives you the answer. And I trust my God, and I'm going to be humble before my God, and God will do whatever he wants to me because he's got a perfect plan. Joseph here doesn't try and dictate the decision. He doesn't try and, you know, influence how it was going to turn out. Man, he could have done it. I think about me personally. Put me in prison for 2 years. Oh, man, you would need to shave me after for sure. It'd be like, you know, Santa Claus. But I think, well, I'd be like, okay, I got to come up with some ideas to get me out of here. I got to, you know, say something that'll give me some favor in Pharaoh's eye. He doesn't say anything like that. He shows up humbly. He said, God's going to give me an answer. That's all he said. Jumping down to verse 25. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. I'm always interested about, like, why did he give that dream to Pharaoh? I know that he was in control. I don't know the Pharaoh of that day if he was such a good guy. Who cares about Egypt? Who cares about Pharaoh? These aren't godly people. They don't care about Christ. I guess they couldn't care about Jesus Christ at that point in the story. But, you know, why? Why did he give him that dream? And then he gave Joseph the ability to interpret that dream for them. I see a couple things here. Think about Joseph, who was in prison and mistreated for most of his life, presented before Pharaoh. And Joseph has all that history thinking, every time I did the right thing, it turned out not so good for me. Why am I going to do it again? Why am I going to possibly get myself into more trouble? When he gives the interpretation, he could have given the first part, which is about the 7 years, right? The first dream is about the 7 good years. He could have said to Pharaoh, oh, it's going to be great for 7 years. Hey, can I go now? You know. The third thing I see here is Joseph gives the truth, the whole interpretation, the whole truth. Even though he could have just given the fuzzy parts, right? Oh, give me the fuzzy parts. I like the good stuff. But don't give me the whole truth. I don't want to hear all of that. Don't give me the hard truth or the hard reality. Man, that kind of resonates. So sometimes I don't even want to hear that. Jumping down to verse 37 and 40. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and all of his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "We can find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God." Even Pharaoh recognized that the Spirit of God was in him. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." He went from an inmate to second in command in one conversation. That's the power of our God. God can take us out of pain and suffering, if we would think about that, like a prison, and release us in Jesus' name. And now we're all of a sudden, we're you know, not that we want to be the president or anything like that. But you know what I'm saying? He takes us and puts us our feet on a firm foundation. God can redeem those years of pain and suffering in a flash. When we think about all those years that you and I, honestly, have gone through pain and suffering, he can deal with that in a heartbeat and all of a sudden put us on a different path. So don't give up and don't give in and stay the course, whatever you're going through. God, in his master plan, has a perfect plan for your life. And as soon as we understand that, we move forward, I think it's going to be wonderful. Again, I'm reminded, God uses pain and suffering to accomplish his purposes. Think about this through Jesus Christ. Boy, that's some pain and suffering. Think about the imprisonment and the suffering that Jesus Christ himself had to endure. Those lashes and the beating and the cross. You and I have to go through this time in history. As we go through it, are we going to come out on the other side blessed? Think about that time for Jesus. He's imprisoned, he's beaten, hung on the cross. And what we see come out of that is glorious. We see the Holy Spirit come. We see the church planted. We see the gospel go forward like never before. We see all the restrictions to try and limit the growth of the church. And it explodes out of that time of suffering and that time of restriction. And they try and quiet the church. And historically, we'll see it just continue to grow. As much as we don't want to hear that, that is ultimately part of God's plan. That whole thing wasn't an accident. God had strategically planned it out. So I am challenged to say to myself, to complain and to grumble about what we're going through is honestly a waste of time because it's part of God's plan, as much as I don't want to say that. Because God knows. Let us use this time to reimagine ourselves, to retrain ourselves, to press into the Lord, and to for strength and wisdom like never before. This is a great time for the church to wake up a little bit. We've been comfortable for a long time. I see the church thriving, not just after this blows over, but right now. Think about when the first wave hit and we were able to meet again. Do you remember when we started offering many services? And then those weren't working. We had to open up the balcony. And that wasn't enough, so we had to open up the fireside room. So just, you know, God is using this time. And we saw more and more new faces come to our church. More and more people become members of our church. More and more people come to faith in Christ through that time. So we're in a second wave. What does that look like afterwards? I don't know. But I think we got to think that our facility might be too small because of what God wants to do. Our thinking might be too small because of what he wants to do. In Jesus' name. Oh, I'm excited to think about that. It's easy to talk about all the things that are not going well, the things that we can't do. But it's exciting to think about the things that God is doing and he wants to do and how it will look after this. And we'll look back in history and go, wow, that was a fun season to go through, how it grew the church up, how it challenged the church up. So, we are in Communion Sunday, and I want to read some scriptures to you, and then we'll take the communion together. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, the Lord Jesus on the night he was betrayed." That doesn't sound fun. You know, you're getting betrayed. You call 12 disciples close to you. I'm going to call 12 close people to me. And one of them stabs you in the back. One of them betrays you. That doesn't sound great. That sounds like suffering. That sounds like a bit of pain. That sounds like you might want to sneeze or something because you don't like it. You don't want to enjoy that kind of suffering and that kind of betrayal. But God uses that. And then he says, "My body that's broken for you." Ouch. That doesn't sound great. "My blood that's shed for you." ouch, that's suffering, that's pain. But because of that, we see wonderful things come out of that. So as we're going through life and we're going through this time of pain, and sometimes we feel like we're suffering, maybe we're restricted a bit, we can trust our God that he's got a perfect plan for all of this. So let me challenge you with this again in verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for allowing your body to be broken on my behalf. Thank you for allowing pain and suffering to bring freedom and restoration and growth through your body and your suffering, in Jesus' name. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. Saying, this cup is the new covenant in my body. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Oh, Jesus, thank you for shedding your blood on my behalf. Thank you for enduring all that pain and suffering on my behalf. Thank you that it allowed me to be free in Jesus' name. Father, I need freedom from all this pain. I need freedom from all this suffering. I need freedom from all these restrictions I put on myself and in my mind. God, help me to be free from that in Jesus' name. Amen.